Our country is $44 trillion in the red, according to a report last week by Business Week. We are in deep red trouble. We keep cutting trees down and spending money around the clock. How about you? If you were to add all your liabilities in one column and add all your assets and income on the other column, where would you be? Would you be in the red or black? And if you are in the red, what are you going to do about it? Next, how long can you survive without a paycheck? You need to ask yourself these questions because how can you know where you are going financially if you don't know where you are? By the way, over the past 30 years, inflation has been running annually 3.53% a year. Health insurance, health costs, 8.3% a year. And college tuition, a whopping 14.63% a year. There's a little IRS 529, it's called a qualified tuition program for those of you who might want to look into it. It's not great, but it's better than nothing. Being intelligent to succeed is a myth. I am living proof. If you can walk, talk, and chew gum, you can succeed. No one taught us how to really spend money. Really, it's something that you just picked up on your own. It comes natural. It makes people feel good. It's like eating. It makes people feel good. It gives you a feeling of control. It is now part of your habit, your personality, and your attitude. Either you spend with your reasoning power of your frontal lobe, or you spend with your lower power, with passion and appetite, and suffer the consequence. The diligence of saving and investing is not plentiful today. We are one of the lowest nations in the world on saving. Japan is the highest. One of the reasons is there's a study that they're doing right now by the Manhattan Institute. People in the United States have a mentality of entitlement. If you look at the many social programs we have, you can see why. We live in times of materialism. My granddaughter, Taylor, I call her my little princess, the little lawyer. She visited us, her and my other granddaughter, Aaliyah, 5 and 7, and they were playing downstairs. And I said, Taylor, if you can catch this $5, you can have it. Out of nowhere, I heard a plane tinkering around. As soon as I mentioned money, boy, she was right there on the spot. And I was upstairs on the catwalk and looking downstairs. I got the money, and she just whizzled her way around from her sister and snatched that money. In the next few days, she kept saying, Grandpa, can we play catch the money? 5 years old. But wait a minute. Jill and I, I'm a real prankster. I like to do different things and, you know, make sure the marriage is not so boring. I was up on the catwalk one day, and I heard Jill tinkling around, trinkling around on stage. You have to understand, Jill doesn't move very fast. She just moves methodically. And I tend to move a little faster. I said, honey, if you catch this $20 bill, you can have it. Right away, she was there. Her antennas were up. And then she was dancing like Baryshnikov, making Baryshnikov look like Tinkerbell and getting ready. And as soon as I made the money flat so it would fly to the air so that she wouldn't catch it, I threw the money up, and like Michael Jordan, she was up there and she snatched it. That lady can move fast. As human nature rides, we crave money even at a very young age. And as we get older, our appetite increases. After we have money, we want power and then control. This is one reason why politics seems so corrupt, because it entails all three. An old politician said there are two things that are important in politics. The first is money, and the second is money. God has blessed the United States with Wall Street, the exchanges. It's no accident. Make no mistake, though, the United States owes its soul to the Chinese government to a tune of $350 billion. So when we say stinky things about the Chinese, we have to be very careful. They are our banker. Two of the greatest investors, I think, in the Bible are Job and Abraham, and I do follow their principles. Upon Solomon's death, God's word came to pass. As Solomon's son, Rehoboam, becomes king, he chooses the foolish, wicked way of promising severe higher taxes. Jeroboam, an officer in Solomon's army, leads the 10 northern tribe in revolt on higher taxes. All because of money. A conservative Jeroboam and a liberal Rehoboam, as we are today, tax and spend a bankrupt state, a bankrupt county, and a bankrupt federal government. This is part one, the love of money, power, and control. Unfortunately, I'll be just skimming the surfaces on finances. There are over 750 references to money in the Bible and many hundreds more indirect references. Many of Jesus' parables dealt with the use of money. He equated the ability to manage financial resources with the ability to manage spiritual resources. Let me pray. Dear Lord, we come before you in our finances, Lord, that we be holy and obedient to you, to follow your principles, your precepts, Lord, that we may not run into walls and struggle with finances. And Lord, we know the devil comes to put deception and the love of money into our hearts. So Lord, I just pray this morning that I'm speaking, Lord, that the devil will not put deception in any of my brothers and sisters' hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will go before us in speaking, being wise stewards, Lord, in your finances, not our finances, Lord, in your finances. So, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will go before me this morning in Jesus' name. Whoever can be trusted with a little can be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Luke 16, 10 and 11. Let me read you an article in the New York Times. I'd love to read you the whole article, but I just want to get my point across. It is a far cry from the life that Mr. Martin and his family enjoyed until recently at their waterfront home in Tupper Lake, New York. Their garage held three stylish cars, including a yellow Aston Martin. To give you an idea what these little puppies cost, recently Sotheby's sold and auctioned off an Aston Martin that was used in a James Bond movie, $1.1 million. They own three horses, one which cost $173,000. Mr. Martin treated his wife, Kate, to a birthday party at the Waldorf Astoria, no Motel 6, mind you, with dinner at the 21 Club. To get into the 21 Club, you have to be more than a millionaire. It is the elite of the elite. And a $7,000 mink coat. That luxurious world was fueled by a check Mr. Martin received in 1998 for $14 million. Mrs. Martin recalled the summer night in 1998 when the family was having a spaghetti dinner at their home in Central California in Paso Robles, California. The phone rang and the bank representative said, "Where would you like to have this check wired?" It seemed like an unbelievable amount, she said regretfully. Mr. Martin, a strapping man with a disarming bluntness, seemed dazed by it all. "We are basically bankrupt." If you are not prepared in handling finances, why should God bless you? That is the question. Almost everyone wants money, but how many are really, really prepared? Christians pretend that they have no financial problems, which, of course, is nonsense. The truth is, finances are a major war zone in our battle with Satan. Remember, these are God's principles, not his laws. He doesn't intend to punish us if we violate these principles. However, those who do not follow them and struggle with the consequences will not be able to receive the blessings in the area of finances. Most of the rewards promised in Scripture are predicated on our obedience to this principle. Therefore, to receive these rewards, we must be able to understand and follow God's plan. All Scripture is inspired by God, for profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats overflowing with new wine, Proverbs 3:9-10. This is the cornerstone of finances, tithing. If you do not understand finances, if you do not understand tithing, forget it. Your finances will always be in chaos. It always starts with tithing, as it was in the Old Testament, New Testament, and today. It tells you where you are with God, self, and money. Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You tithe with dill and mint and cumin and neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." Jesus reaffirmed the need to tithe, but he rebuked the leaders because of their legalistic ways. "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." 2 Corinthians 9:6. Turning to the Old Testament, we can see that tithing simply reflects the heart attitude. "Will a man rob God? Yet you say, you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? Through tithes and offerings," Malachi 3:8. To what does God equate withholding the tithe? "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room to store it." Malachi 3:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction," Proverbs 1:7. "The men of Israel and Judah who lived in the towns of Judah also brought their tithes and herds and flock and the tithe of the holy things and dedicated to the Lord and piled them up in heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest from the family of Zadok, answered, 'Since the people have brought their contributions to the temple, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare, because the Lord has blessed his people, and this great amount is left over.'" 2 Chronicles 31, 6, 10, and 12. The bottom line is, we give out of fear, which means awe and respect for God, and in that, he blesses us with his wisdom. Once we understand that giving is our testimony to God's ownership, he opens up a higher level of sharing. How much wealth do you want? What is wealth? How much is wealth? Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves treasures of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life. Indeed, 1 Timothy 6, 8 through 19. When you hear someone talk about wealth, what images come to your mind? Luxury cars, jewelry, furs, diamonds, local bracelets? Does it seem that no matter how hard you work to get richer, you can't seem to generate enough money to satisfy your family's wants and desires? Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle, Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. Men, remember, you can't let your job define you. Wealth is also related to our creative ability, the value that people place on your performance. Give you an example. I have a dear friend that used to own a computer company, and now in this area, in the local Hilo area, he repairs, installs, anything to do with a computer, he does. This man is brilliant. He turns business down. He will not work with individuals. He'll only work with businesses and specific business. He is so good that he picks his client. That is wealth in itself. What you do, if you're a good contractor out of a field of 20, people want the best. That's wealth itself, your performance. And that's how God has blessed you. There is also your credit ability, the trust that people have in you. So wealth can be a factor in your perceived value or your trustworthiness. Wealth can be used for good, spreading the gospel, for furthering God's kingdom, or for bad, bribing officials, building bombs. Wealth represents power, so it's not unusual that people want as much of it as they can get. Clearly, for God's people, wealth should mean more than just the accumulation of material possessions. If wealth alone brought happiness, the wealthiest people would be the happiest. Evidence shows that the exact opposite is more often true. God's plan is that we should have true wealth. It is the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Proverbs 10, 22. I know a number of wealthy people, and let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, most all of them, 9 out of 10 of them, are not healthy, and they're not happy. Wealthy people. God's principle always works. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth nor rust destroy and thieves do not break in. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro and bustles about. He works in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. Psalms 39, 6. How blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. Proverbs 3, 13 and 14. God is concerned with our attitudes about money and possessions. Neither our abundance nor our lack of money affects our relationship with God, but our attitudes do. We are not reflecting His character when we are upset and depressed over our financial situation. As Christians, we must learn how to trust God in all our circumstances and believe that He loves us and that He will give us what we can handle. How we use material resources is a testing ground that reveals our true priority and character. Wealth is neither moral nor immoral. It is not God's design for His people to live in poverty. There is no inherent virtue in poverty. God opposes the misuse of or preoccupation of wealth, not wealth itself. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Psalms 112:3. What does God say about money and happiness? Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17, riches do not profit in day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 11:4. Is having wealth a sin? There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a fool swallows them up. Proverbs 21:20. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 22:4. What attitude does God expect of us? So you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:4-6. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches, honor, and life. Her ways are pleasant ways, and her paths are peace. Proverbs 3:16-17. Realistically, what can we expect from God? Riches and honor are with me. Enduring wealth and prosperity, Proverbs 8:18. We can expect the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, but we can't grieve the Holy Spirit. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have strayed from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. In brief, what is going on right now in Libya, Tanzania, Yemen, Egypt, all those countries is not oil. It has to do with money. Recently, there was an ambassador from Yemen, I believe, and he sent this letter to the State Department that's not supposed to be released. It's highly confidential. It's not supposed to be released until 2018. And of course, it was released. In this letter was detailed information of all these dictators and all their financial transactions. We're not talking millions here, we're talking billions. To make matters worse, the offsprings of these dictators are going to be taken over. What does it mean to these people? More oppression, another generation of oppression. And this is what the basic reason of this turmoil. The sad news is this is an opportunity for terrorists to move in. So it's not a very win-win situation. Jesus said to His disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, who then can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19, 23 to 26. Matthew 25, 14, 29. This is Jesus speaking. Whenever I see the word Jesus is speaking, I stand at attention. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, to another, 1 talent, all according to their ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went immediately to invest his money, but the stock market was closed. So he went and bought a cattle. When the cattle grew up, he slaughtered it and took the beef and sold it to the people at Kobe. Thus, the beginning of Kobe beef. The United White House have lavish parties all the time. They only use Kobe beef, $100 a pound. The man with the 2 talents went immediately to the stock market, but it was closed. So he bought himself a cow. The cow gave birth to a red heifer. He immediately took it down to the Seventh-day Adventist church, and they went, wow. He doubled his money and sold it to them. But the man who had the 1 talent, first of all, was in fear. This is where it separates people who invest their money. Right away, they think about losing money. So he thought if he would invest his money, he would lose his money. So like a low, he dug it in the ground. A long time later, his masters and servants returned to settle accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought his talents to the master and said, look, I made 100%. Here's your 5 talents. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will bless you with many things. I will put you in charge of my 10,000-acre ranch, and you can raise all the Kobe beef. Come and share your master's happiness tonight. I will make you a lavish dinner. The man with the 2 talents came also and said, master, look, you have entrusted me with 2 talents. I doubled my money. Well done and good faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. I will put you in charge of my 4,000-acre ranch, and you can raise all the heifers you want. Come and share your master's happiness tonight, and I will make you a 9-course vegetarian dinner. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, now he vomits all over his master, comes up with all these excuses. He has no proof. Master, he said, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not harvested, and sowing where you have not sown. So I was afraid and went and hid your money in the ground. Here's your dirty money. It's dirty, but it's still there. But his master replied, you wicked, lazy person. You knew what I haven't harvested, where I haven't seen, and all of this. Well then, you should have put my money in the bank and I would have collected interest. Take the talent from him and give it to those who have 10. For everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. It is very interesting what Jesus said in verse 15, according to his own ability. The servant with the 1 talent, obviously his ability was a little bit down. I believe Jesus made this point very, very clear about one's ability. What is your ability? Is your ability holding you back? Is it time to change? Do you need to be esteemed? The key theme in this parable is stewardship. We are to use our abilities to manage the master's resources well and to return it back to him in better condition than we receive them. If you don't have the abilities, then learn. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. If the Holy Spirit can teach this Lolo, believe me, he can even teach your dog. Proverbs 10:14, wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Proverbs 20:15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge is a precious jewel. Whenever I speak and I say that studies have shown this and this, I'm not picking it out of the air, and Joe will attest to this. I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of research. I pay money for letters from all over the world. I study leaders in different countries. I study trends in the United States, trends in China. As God has made me steward of my portfolio, I need to be wise. And I don't wait for things to come to me. I go after things and I look for things. I look under the rock, find out what's going on in the world. And I believe that's the only way you're going to gain knowledge. Compare the parable of the steward in Luke 12:16-20, the parable of the rich fool. This is Jesus speaking again. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to put my crop. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and all my goodies. This servant had a lot of goodies. I will take life easy, eat, drink, be merry, and be korohe. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be snatched from you. And who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself and not rich toward God. In Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As I said before, this scripture gives me the shakes because that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to eat, drink, be merry, get fat, drink beer, watch big screen TV. I had a house in Kona, and I didn't want to be close to Hilo. I hate Hilo. I still hate Hilo. But you know, God moved me to Hilo. It's not what you want. It's what God wants for you to fulfill your potential, to serve Him, to serve God and mankind. It's not feelings, it's spirit. A little example of modern day investing. I hope nobody attacks me, but this is how it is. But before I tell you this, let me give you the backdrop so you can understand the dynamics of this. In 1929, there was a market crash. In 1975, we had inflation. Interest rates were running 21%. I know, because I had a CD, a 10-year CD, for 13.2%. I doubled my money for doing nothing. In 1987, we had a market crash. In the year, in the 90s, we had depression, 92, 3, or 4, I remember because of the housing thing. In 2000, we had the internet meltdown. The market just crashed. And 2008, 2007, the market went down 6,000. The market is up 87% last week, 87%. Remember, when the market goes like this, it comes up like this. When the market goes like that, it comes up like that. That being said, if you bought a share of Coca-Cola in 1919 for $40, it would be worth today $250,000. And it gets better. If you bought that one share in 1919 with dividend investing and splits, today that one share is worth $88.1 million. And it gets better. That one share would give you $226,569 of dividends a year. That's over $18,000 a month. That's including all the market crash. One more. Johnson & Johnson, the Band-Aid people, in 1990, that's the year I quit working, if you bought 200 shares it would have cost you $13,550. Last year, you would have had 2,234 shares. That stock would be worth $139,569, and you would receive $5,000 of dividends a year. How God uses finances. Often God uses money in our lives as a means of direction because he knows this is an area where he can get our attention and how vulnerable we are. But God's plans for us are not always the same as our desires, so we must be willing to accept his plans. We may be tempted to strike out on our own without clear direction from God and expect him to bless us. In effect, that is asking God to bless our priorities over his own plans. We need to look out for God's guidance and signals, his stop and yield, his commands. When we fail to yield, we decided that our wisdom is superior to his. It never is, and learning this lesson can be very, very costly. The price we eventually pay for going our own way is time, money, but most importantly, peace. When Kuwait was attacked a number of years ago when the elder Bush was in president, what happened? The oil and gas prices went up exactly where we are today. When we went into Iraq, I said, no brainer, shooting fish in a barrel. So I bought me a whole bunch of oil and gas options. I said, no brainer. Well, guess what happened? Lolo was wrong. Did I ask God for direction? No. Did it hurt? Yes. Did I learn? Yes. In Psalms 119:71, it was good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than 1,000 pieces of silver and gold. Amen. In Ephesians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and making your requests known to God. Now think about Matthew 25, that parable of the three investors, the two, the one, and ask yourself, which one are you, or which one would you like to be? Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in your finances. In short, I am saying, young people, create your own portfolio. Here is the reason and question. You will need between 75 and 80% of your income to retire. The question is, where is it going to come from? Let me read you a quick article by former Senator Alan Simpson, who is not a friend to senior citizens. And young people say, well, I know there won't be anything there for me. I'm not worried about it. Well, I tell you, when you waddle up to the window at 65 and you put 6.2% of all your check in that thing, you're going to want something back. When people used to tell me about Social Security, I used to laugh. I said, that's for old people. Hello? Fortunately, I created a little portfolio. Trust me, young people, if you are blessed, you will wake up one morning old and gray and healthy and blessed. Otherwise, you'll die young. When you're old, you will have wished you have been wiser with your life. You can't change it. You can't go back. Trust God. Don't trust money. My dear brother, I love my dear brother very much. He didn't follow these things. When he quit work, he didn't realize how much money he needed. So every morning he goes and look for bottles, and every evening he goes and look for bottles. But I would never let anything happen to my dear brother. Let me say that. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things, 1 Chronicles 29:12. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold, Proverbs 22:1. Where there is no vision, the people perish, Proverbs 29:18. I am out of time.